This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Wednesday to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us here aboard the mothership. Welcome inside the DA every single morning, 6 until 10 Eastern Time, 3 until 7 Pacific, right here on the CBS Sports Radio Network. And we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios with every score change. During Super Bowl 55, someone wins $50,000 in the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Square Sweepstakes. See rules that enter for free at rocketmortgagesquares.com. Coming up this hour here on the DA Show. In 20 minutes, the Jays with a big signing, grabbing George Springer on the free agent market. What does it mean for Toronto? And in 40 minutes, Super Dave, the voice of the Winthrop Eagles, has to take our drops from this show and use them in his play-by-play. Now, yesterday we had a poll question. What was your favorite drop that Super Dave should use in his play-by-play, because he lost the bet between he and Merez in college football versus NFL picks? And the winner was, by a slight margin, Little Wet, Little Drippy.
A little wet, little drippy.
So that absolutely should be one that Super Dave uses. But we have also thought that maybe Little Wet, Little Drippy sounds like it's something that you would use in play-by-play, because you could say a jumper is wet or splash. It seems normal to do that. Well, we want something that's a little bit more out of the box to make it sound a little bit more quirky and ridiculous for Super Dave to use. And so, Merez, we were maybe thinking about something really crazy, like, I have a weird waist yesterday. I have a weird waist. Winthrop leads 62-60. But then we also brought up, how about Get Me Rubinoff?
Oh, please.
Now, once upon a time, after you and Pete had just another one of your blow-ups, you said, quote, Get Me Rubinoff, who is basically the understudy to Pete the Body Bilotti, Sam Rubinoff, one of the diaper D aliens. Well, how funny would it be if Super Dave used Get Me Rubinoff in his calls? Like, Eagles trailing 26-24, come across the midcourt stripe. Here's Johnson from three. Get Me Rubinoff!
Oh, to me, we have all, Little Wet, Little Drippy makes a lot of sense, right? With bacon would be hysterical, but you could kind of feel like that's goofy and funny, and people kind of get it. The most random of names in a Rubinoff and saying, Get Me Rubinoff, is such an inside DA short and perfect insert into a, you know, people listening go, wait, is there a Rubinoff on the bench? Did I miss Rubinoff on my roster sheet? A Get Me Rubinoff will actually have me holding my stomach.
Which I always loved Get Me Rubinoff also, because it makes it sound...
The graphic.
If you're watching at watchda.com or on Twitch, Get Me Rubinoff always is hysterical to me because it makes it sound like it's a Mission Impossible scene and a general in the army where the president is telling the general, Get Me Rubinoff to save the world. I need Rubinoff. And the graphic that Cap has up is an army general in fatigues in some type of secret war room of the Pentagon. And it says, get me Rubinoff. And there's a picture of smiling Sam Rubinoff on the flat screen.
How does Cap do it?
So get me Rubinoff could be a good one. Now, I should note that while Little Wet, Little Drippy won by a hair, I believe, at the end of yesterday's show, as the day wore on and more votes came in, You Like That Big Boy ended up taking the top spot.
You Like That Big Boy.
That ended up with 38% of the vote. With Bacon had 21% of the vote, and Gunburgers had 10% of the vote. Here's an idea, okay, Mares? I got an idea. Instead of telling Dave Friedman, Super Dave, exactly what he needs to use, dictating to him, how about this? How about we make him a play card, okay? We take 10 of our drops and we assign point totals based on degree of difficulty. And we see if Super Dave has an aggressive day and wants to score a lot of points, he will use the most ridiculous ones. But if he wants to play conservatively, he'll play some of the other hits. And so like a Get Me Rubinoff or a You Like That Big Boy has like 10 points, but a Little Wet Little Drippy is like 5 points, and we let him see how much he scores.
I refuse.
So I like it, but I'm just trying to follow along here. Is there some kind of other reward he gets for tallying a higher point total?
Well, maybe we say you got to get to 25 points. It's you decide how to get there. So maybe he does like 5 Little Wet Little Drippies instead of 1 Get Me Rubinoff. But if he wants to just knock out a big one and impress the folks at home, he knocks out a Get Me Rubinoff or I Have a Weird Waist.
So sort of like building a daily fantasy lineup. You have to stay within you know, your point total or whatever, but you have to get to a floor. You have to get to the certain point total. Okay, I like that idea.
So this way we can add to the play sheet like really ridiculous ones. And we just say, if you want to go for the Hail Mary, if you want to go for the gusto, big risk, big reward, you know, we'll do Jimmy Johnson said, if you make tacos, I love you. If you make tacos no more, I don't love you no more. That's worth like 100 points. If you can work that into.
I have a big wiener in my hand.
Okay, that would be worth 1,000 points.
All right. I think this is a good idea.
Super Dave's going to join us coming up here in 35 minutes, and we'll discuss how he is going to do this coming up with Super Dave at 40 minutes past the hour. I think that the Texan situation and the Deshaun Watson situation is one of the most fascinating stories in recent NFL history, because what we've seen in the NFL is very unlike the NBA. Or even unlike Major League Baseball, where stars are drafted and developed, and then when they become free agents, they want to go elsewhere. They want to join super teams, or they want to cash out and make tons of money. In the NFL, we rarely see this. In the NFL, if you are drafted by a team and you become a star, almost always the team finds a way to keep you and you find a way to stay with the team. It is remarkably rare that a team wants to keep you and you leave. You know, but in the NBA, that happens all the time. In Major League Baseball, teams want to keep free agents, but they just can't afford to. In the NFL, if you want Deshaun Watson, you make him that offer, he signs, he's going to be there. Patrick Mahomes plans on being in Kansas City for 20 years. Even though Kansas City is not a huge market, Aaron Rodgers, as long as the Packers want Aaron Rodgers, Rodgers wants to stay in Green Bay. Green Bay is the smallest market of the NFL. Stars don't leave unless the team basically says, we don't want you anymore. And what's happening in Houston is a star in his prime at the most important position in football is saying, get me out of here. Get me Rubinoff. I don't want to be here. And it rarely, if ever, happens. Think about the franchise quarterbacks over the last number of years. None of them has said, I don't want to be here, I'm leaving. If they've left, like Tom Brady or Kurt Warner left his teams twice, it's because the teams didn't want him. Brett Favre retired because the Packers said, we're moving on, and then he unretires and comes to the Vikings, then unretires and goes to the Jets, or vice versa. But it's never that the team that wants to keep you can't keep you. Kirk Cousins, kind of. But even Washington basically didn't want to give him a long-term offer, or he probably would have stayed. So that's why Deshaun Watson wanting out, even though it seems like the Texans want him there, is a remarkably new and unique experience. A young franchise quarterback could be available on the open market? Never happens. So how did this happen? And is it fixable? This is what's interesting, because Houston doesn't want to get rid of him. Here is Seth Payne, who does Radio Daily in Houston on 610 there, and has oftentimes been heard as well on our weekends here on CBS Sports Radio. Here was Seth Payne right here on the CBS Sports Radio Network with Amy Lawrence.
Deshaun and a lot of other guys on that team had just lived through a couple of years of Bill O'Brien trying to impose his version of the Patriots way on the organization, and it was obviously an abject failure. And the roster had been decimated because Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, both Patriots guys, had just been running things their way, and in a way under which a lot of players were miserable. And I think Deshaun just saw it as more of the same, and also that his input hadn't been valued. You know, he wanted the Texans to interview Eric Bieniemy and Robert Saleh. Neither of those guys at the time had been requested. Neither of those guys had interview requests from the Texans. Now Eric Bieniemy, of course, has been interviewed.
So this is interesting. Seth Payne saying that what happens here is that Deshaun Watson gets caught in a situation where he's just dealt with the Bill O'Brien nightmare. And it feels like, even though everybody seemingly in the organization was on the same page, this was a nightmare, that they're doubling down to that Patriot way. And I'm going to look at both sides of this, okay, because I want to be fair about this. From a Texans organizational standpoint and a Cal McNair standpoint, I'm going to take Jack Easterby out of it because I don't have a lot of respect for Jack Easterby, and I think that he's the manipulative, toxic piece of this puzzle. From a Cal McNair standpoint, he might say, look, Bill O'Brien isn't necessarily a Patriots way guy. He coached in New England, but he's coached a lot of other places. And Bill O'Brien also helped us win a bunch. And we won the division with him. And you won a playoff game with him, Deshaun. And I didn't think that the quote-unquote Bill O'Brien way was the Patriots way, or that the Bill O'Brien way was a total disaster. And Cal McNair might also say, okay, you don't want Bill O'Brien. Even if you don't want Bill O'Brien, Nick Caserio's not Bill O'Brien. That Nick Caserio comes with a lot of experience in the NFL. Bill O'Brien really didn't come in with a lot of that. He had some college experience, head coach of Penn State. Nick Caserio's been the right-hand man under Bill Belichick for a while. That should count for something. Don't you want to win like Bill O'Brien, or I should say Bill Belichick wins? And then Nick Caserio's his own man. So Cal McNair might be looking at it from that standpoint. I'm going to take out Jack Easterby because I think Jack Easterby is a survivalist. I don't think he's doing what's in the best interest of Deshaun Watson. I think he's doing what's in the best interest of Jack Easterby, that he knows if he hires or advises somebody else to be hired or somebody else does get hired, that Easterby could be the first guy that gets canned. And I think that he knows if Caserio gets the job, he won't be canned. That's why I don't trust anything that Jack Easterby says or does or advises about, okay? But Cal McNair might have the best interest of Deshaun Watson at heart here and say all of those things. But you can't not understand where Deshaun Watson's coming from. Bill O'Brien walked into that organization, and I've got good knowledge on this, immediately distanced himself from people, okay? Screamed at this one, bullied this one, was adamant about this. This department had to do it this way. Bill O'Brien is a stubborn a-hole, okay? Now, sometimes in football, that works in some ways. I mean, they won games. They did win games. But coming from Gary Kubiak, it was not appreciated around that office that he would storm around, he would yell, he would scream. That was not appreciated around that office after a very nice run with Gary Kubiak, where Kubiak was a really kind of gentle type of guy, understanding, open-minded, etc. So I think Bill O'Brien comes in and throws his weight around and wants control and wants to be the alpha, and that rubs a lot of people the wrong way. And there is the prickly Bill Belichick Patriot thing that happens, where Eric Mangini and Matt Patricia and Josh McDaniels all have this ego because they came out of New England and they think that they're Bill Belichick now, and they all end up acting like a-holes. I mean, that's kind of the Patriot thing, is to act like a-holes, stiff-arm the media, do this, do that, that makes it seem like you're the king of the castle, project that there are no nonsense. You know, all of that type of Patriot stuff that Belichick and his cronies in New England have fostered for years. Unemotional. We cut you a year before instead of a year late. We're going to hard-ass negotiate every single dollar here, and we'll bring in the next unknown to take your job and to keep you on edge, and we don't care about your feelings. Do your job. Don't celebrate. Don't have fun. You know, all of that. We're not going to talk to the media. We don't give you information. We dictate the terms, all of that stuff. Well, that can sap a person of their joy of coming to work. It works in New England when you win. And New England has won for 20 years, and so it works. But when you go 4-12, or you go 6-10, and your coach is an a-hole, kind of like in Cleveland, the Browns said, enough is enough. We don't like this anymore because we're not winning enough to validate Bill Belichick being this way. So Deshaun Watson's looking at this Patriot way thing and going, I'm going to sign up for another 5 years of this, because now I got Nick Caserio, who's been the right-hand man of Bill Belichick, and we're going to do this again? And I think that if you were Cal McNair or you were Jack Easterby, and again, I don't trust Jack Easterby, but if you were Cal McNair or Easterby and you wanted to get through to Deshaun Watson, you would sit down with him and you would say, Deshaun, we are going to hire Nick Caserio, but we have considered all the things that you want. We believe it's important. We know that you're the anchor of this franchise moving forward, but here's the reasons why we really do believe this is what's going to help you win. And then it becomes a collective agreement. Instead, what they did was, Deshaun Watson says we need a new culture around here. He goes out of his way to give his input. Hey, I think this would work. This would work. Everybody in Houston says Deshaun Watson's been criticized for being too positive in the middle of a bad season. And when Deshaun Watson's on vacation, they announce Nick Caserio is going to get the job. They had hired a firm, a search firm, for this very hire and ignored everything that the search firm put in front of them and hired Nick Caserio, Jack Easterby's guy, when Deshaun Watson's on vacation. And so Watson goes, you didn't care about what I said. You only care about what Jack Easterby says. And Jack Easterby is an extension of Bill O'Brien because they were buddies until, you know, one wanted to seize more power than the next. And Deshaun Watson just witnessed Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby fight over the power, like it was a risk game board, of the Texans, and goes, I don't want to be part of that again. And I can't stress this enough. Bill O'Brien was a jerk. He pushed people away. He tried to be the tough guy in the room, and that only works when you're winning. And then the moment that it didn't, he lost the control of the locker room. But Jack Easterby is the career survivalist who is manipulating Cal McNair to hire the people that will keep him employed. And Deshaun Watson could probably deal with a coach that's a hard ass like Bill O'Brien. But what he doesn't want to deal with is knowing that the owner's manipulated by a guy that doesn't have the organization's best interest at heart, has his own self-interest at heart. That's why Deshaun Watson, again, this is total. You give me the last experience of a franchise quarterback at 25 who has a giant contract from his team and the team wants him to stay, saying, I don't want to be here anymore. When does that ever happen? And it's not Deshaun Watson, some type of prima donna diva that, you know, thinks so highly of himself. Deshaun Watson's been like the best leader ever. It's that he's looking at Jack Easterby as the snake and going, we're going to do this again? Well, I don't want to be around for that. And I don't blame him at all. McNair needs to get rid of Jack Easterby. That's the issue here. And put Nick Caserio, fine, in a position of power and say, and have him sit down with Deshaun and convince Deshaun, look, I've got your best interest at heart. It's not going to work if Easterby's still employed because Deshaun Watson's going to look at that guy as the one that's still pulling the strings and everything. You must fire Easterby to fix this. And if you're choosing between a character coach, team chaplain, and strength and conditioning doofus, or your 25-year-old franchise QB, choose the quarterback, will you? Choose the quarterback. Get Easterby out of there. The guy is a nightmare. When we come back here on the DA show, the Toronto Blue Jays with one of the biggest signings of the offseason, perhaps the biggest. We'll talk about what it means for the Jays next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
I'm going to do a downer.
Oh, no.
And I don't know why Jay-Z is an entrepreneur for sports.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hurricane Jen. An entrepreneur. Entrepreneur. Glad you're with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. You can watch the best of the show on YouTube every single day. We post our best clips on YouTube, so check it out, the CBS Sports Radio channel there. Last hour, we were cracking up because Merez took some unwarranted shots at Pete on his birthday yesterday. You should listen to the PGB for more of their bickering. And of all the days, on Pete's birthday, for crying out loud. So then today, we got into a bit about how the phone calls is always an ongoing punchline around here because Pete's the only one back at the studio. The rest of us are from our home studios. And so Pete's responsible for running the board and the audio and the music and also answering the phones. That would normally be Mraz's responsibility to answer the phones and put them up. So we've had many, many listeners who have complained that Pete's not answering the phones and putting them up, including Milwaukee Moose, who's such a nice guy, does the Up the Gut Instagram blog, and also wished Pete a happy birthday yesterday, but also said even when Pete doesn't answer the phone, which I'm like, man, you can't even wish him a happy birthday without mentioning that. I mean, come on.
Thanks, pal.
So we just had such a laugh about that, and in the middle of me laughing and talking about that, somebody actually was on hold and had called up. I think it was Lance in New Mexico. So Pete's like, you want a call? Fine. You can take a call. Why don't you take a call, DA? Go ahead, take a call. Here it is. It's Lance in New Mexico. He wants to talk about Patrick Mahomes' injury. And he gets on and does like a minute of who knows what, ultimately talking about Ronda Rousey, laughing and hanging up. And Lance in New Mexico thought it was a great phone call. But Pete, basically, that is the drop the mic moment. You wanted a phone call, bud? You got a phone call, DA. And here it is. It's an unintelligible Ronda Rousey take when the guy said he wanted to talk about Patrick Mahomes.
Good morning.
So we had a really good laugh, and I think it's absolutely a 12 DAs candidate. Alien OG tweets, that's the second time in my life I've almost rear-ended somebody at a red light from laughing at something on the radio. The drive to work was a good one today. Jeremy tweets, mark that down for the 12 DAs. Hardest I've laughed in a long time. I kept waiting for Mraz to cough up another chicken wing. Mac and Bear tweets, morning DA and the crew, man, that segment was classic. Hashtag hash browns. And and I'm wondering, did you need to worry? Did we need to worry, rather, that you might have coughed up something from 2 days ago by laughing so hard on that segment?
No, I haven't eaten anything with a bone. I've been doing a lot of liquids of late, so I knew I was clear pathway to laugh, clear path foul. I was going to be okay, no choking. I've learned my lesson after last week, and I've learned to chew my food better, too.
Ryan tweets, wow, thanks for that laugh this morning, guys. That was amazing. That was a really good one. That was, it just kind of perfectly came together, right? The stars aligned.
Oh, and it is, I'll tell you guys, it has already, by me in a break, been clipped and saved as a 12DA and put into the 12DA folder for next year. We're not even fooling around with that one where it could be forgotten. It is encapsulated already and saved. We're ready to vote on it.
Amazing. George Springer, outfielder for the Houston Astros, signs with the Toronto Blue Jays, a 6-year, $150 million deal.
Now,
apparently,
out.
Yeah, they apparently everybody else had to get out of the way as the Blue Jays spent the money. The only other contract that the Blue Jays have ever given that was more than $100 million was to Vernon Wells in 06.
Wow.
The Blue Jays gave him 126. They just gave George Springer 150. Guys, let's start here. Do you think that George Springer is worth $150 million because the Blue Jays outbid everybody, including the Mets? Mraz, we'll start with you.
I mean, we got to take this with, yes, we understand no baseball player is probably worth $150
million. Yeah, no, I mean in the context of baseball players.
Right. In the context of baseball players, he's one of the best center fielders in baseball. Yes, so I would say, yes, he probably is. The only thing that would concern me, and I'm sure Bogues will get to this, would be age over the long haul of that many years.
Bogues, do you think he's worth $150 million?
That's the very, very top end of his worth. I think, and I'm not saying this because I'm a Met fan, I think 20 mil per year makes more sense for him than what he's going to get from the Blue Jays. So maybe something closer to like 130, 135 would have made more sense in my head. But 150 is at least in the range of what he's worth. And they needed a guy like that to put on all those young stars. So I completely get why they were comfortable going so much more north of everybody else.
I think George Springer's a little older than people might realize. He's 31 years old, right? So six-year deal will take him through 37 years old. You're probably not getting a very productive George Springer 4, 5, 6 years from now. So this is for the here, the now. It does give the Blue Jays an amazing lineup here because you add George Springer to a lineup that has the young Biggio, the young Bo Bichette, the young Vladimir Guerrero, and the rest of those bats in that lineup. That's a pretty nasty lineup. And the Blue Jays, in a shortened COVID season last year, were over 500 and were basically the last team in the playoffs in the American League. So from a Blue Jay standpoint, does this make sense? Let's take the money out of it, Mraz. From a baseball standpoint, adding Springer to the Blue Jays, does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because I think they play in a division right now where you just saw the Rays made the World Series trade away Blake Snell. You know you have to deal with the Yankees and all of their spending, which isn't going to end. They just signed LeMahieu, and the Red Sox are totally on the downhill. And if you're the Blue Jays, sure, you have all these young guys who have built this thing up and rebuilt. Now's the time. Okay, go supplement that with a big ticket free agent, which is something like you just pointed out with Vernon Wells, the Blue Jays don't do often. So I think it makes a ton of sense for the Blue Jays. Go for it now.
What do you think, Bogues?
Yeah, they should have done what they might have done here. I mean, they might have said, okay, what's your best offer? Throw on another $15 million, and that's our best offer. Like, they're in position to spend money because all of those young guys are still on their initial contracts. They're all low money things. So I think their payroll now, even with Springer, is only like $117 million for the coming year, which is like in the middle of the pack. So this makes all of the sense in the world, even if in three seasons he's not a center fielder anymore and he just hits in right field, does more DH duties. Either way, I mean, this is what they should have done. They should have been over-aggressive, and they were, and they won him.
So I agree with both of you guys. I think that it makes baseball sense for them. It gives them a leadoff hitter. He's been one of the best leadoff hitters in baseball since his debut in 2014. He is a veteran presence as well. He's also very good in the postseason. He's been a clutch player in October. So if you're hoping to bring a presence that's been there, good in clutch moments and fits from a baseball lineup standpoint, Springer works. I also think that the Blue Jays, people always, I think, underrate that the Blue Jays should be a big market team. When the Blue Jays won their back-to-back World Series titles, they had the biggest payroll in baseball. It was bigger than the Yankees, bigger than the Red Sox, bigger than the Dodgers, because Toronto is one of the biggest cities in the world. It is Canada's biggest city. It's Canada's New York City. They're also, they've always had deep pockets. They've had deep cable money pockets. They just have not wanted to spend it. They've made every excuse not to spend money, but they could spend money. So the Blue Jays have finally had a farm system that's developed all these great young pieces. They finally turned the corner last year into a winner above 500 and made the playoffs, expanded playoffs, but still nonetheless. And now spending the money, it's much like the Padres. Take advantage of the window. You did all the hard work by losing and drafting well. That's the hard work. Now, if all it takes is cutting a check, the right check, to get the right guy, now it's the easy part. Now it's finalizing the roster. The Padres are doing it. I'm glad to see the Blue Jays are doing it as well. George Springer going to Toronto. Bogues has our headlines this morning. Mr. Bogues, where do we begin?
Well, it's all sponsored, DA, by Progressive Insurance, with insurance for cars, home, boat, motorcycles, RVs, and commercial vehicles at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. So on top of signing George Springer, the Blue Jays may not be done. They are going after his former teammate, Michael Brantley, and they've also signed former All-Star reliever Kirby Yates. Patrick Mahomes could practice a little later today in KC. As we've mentioned all morning, he's allowed to do some on-field work as he progresses through the NFL's concussion protocol. The Bucs are calling Antonio Brown day-to-day after hurting a knee in New Orleans on Sunday. An MRI showed no structural damage. Titans wideout A.J. Brown just had surgery on both of his knees. He missed weeks 2 and 3, then played the rest of the season in discomfort for Tennessee. On the coaching front, the Eagles expected to interview Saints D.C. Dennis Allen today for their head coaching job after meeting with Cowboys O.C. Kellen Moore yesterday, and Raheem Morris expected to end up as Rams defensive coordinator. And Carl Sheffers will referee the Super Bowl for the second time in 5 seasons. His crew includes Sarah Thomas. She'll be the first woman to work the Super Bowl. In the NBA last night, the Jazz stayed hot.
Zion driving to the basket, lost it. Conley comes up with it. Conley the front court. Conley gets to the three-point line, leaves behind for Clarkson, rotates to Ingles, left corner three, got it! Just killing him. Just killing him.
Joe Ingles, David Locke on Jazz Radio. Utah hit 20.
Loves Joe Ingles. Loves
him. Who doesn't? Utah hit 21 threes, forcing Pelicans head coach Stan Van Gundy to play some zone.
Yeah, well, I think it was the fact, Christian, that they were scoring on every single possession that we said, you know, maybe that's not a good thing. Maybe we should try something else just to try to break their rhythm a little bit. I don't think it did a whole lot, but it did for a couple of minutes.
Jazz won the game 118-102. Awesome. That's a 6-game win streak for them. The Nuggets got back to 500 with a 119-101 victory over the Thunder. Nikola Jokic only needed to play 3 quarters, still had 27 points, 12 boards, and 6 assists. College hoops, third-ranked Villanova got by Seton Hall 76-74 in its first game in 27 days. Number 6, Tennessee, run over at Florida 75-49. And number 18, Alabama, pounded LSU 105-75. The Tide hit an SEC record 23 threes. As for Bama football, after hiring Bill O'Brien as offensive coordinator, Nick Saban reportedly targeting Doug Marrone for his O-line coach.
Hey, this is and great. Like, Saban just takes broken coaches, puts them in front of 5-star recruits, and just rehabs them like he's the Betty Ford Clinic. He just takes all types of disgraced, vilified coaches. Is like, I can win with Sark. I can win with Lane Kiffin. I could win with Bill O'Brien. I'll win with Doug Marrone. It's like you're just shoving it in everybody's face.
Right. Can't wait till Adam Gase is named their quarterbacks coach. I'm really excited.
No doubt. Yes. And they'll win national championships for these guys.
And then I'm pretty sure I read this yesterday in the Jeremy Pruitt story. There still hasn't been, I think only Kirby Smart, but no other Saban assistant has beaten Saban since getting rehabbed and promoted and pushed and left to be a head coach. None of them have returned the favor and beaten him.
Yeah. Although Lane did have a good effort this year. I think that was one of the closest games Alabama played because he basically wasn't punting all game and just going for it.
True, but Kirby Smart's been the only guy that's gone on and showed that he could be a really successful head coach as well after being an assistant. So we'll see if Sark can rebound at Texas, but it's amazing what Saban does.
Also, did you see with Pruitt in Tennessee that Peyton Manning is going to have a very big influence on who the next head coach is?
So it's Gase.
And we know where Peyton Manning's influences have been in the NFL. Please tell me Adam Gase is going to coach.
It's going to be Papa John.
But, yes, Papa John will be more qualified, and the offensive coordinator will be Gase. That'll be the staff put together.
Finally, some hockey last night. All of these games in overtime. The Penguins fought off the Caps 5-4. Winnipeg a 4-3 win in Ottawa. The Panthers 5. The Blackhawks 4. And Detroit outlasted Columbus 3-2. Now, DA, back to you.
Excellent. Thank you, Bogues. When we come back, Super Dave is going to join us, and we'll break down the drops that he needs to use amongst his Winthrop Eagles play-by-play calls. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
It's a spread. It's a line. It's Super Dave.
Well, I'm just never going to pass up an opportunity to chant, "Let's go, P." Mississippi is just the pinnacle of college football right now with Lane Kiffin and Mike Leach and Deion Sanders.
With your weekly college football picks.
I think about it because obviously on sale means you're getting a bargain, but I think I'd buy a racehorse first.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Super Dave Friedman has engaged in a season-long bet 2 years in a row against Mraz. He picked college football games against Mraz's NFL. Last year, Super Dave beat Mraz, meaning Mraz had to take the SAT for the first time in his life. That led to major scandal and controversy. This year, Mraz beat Super Dave, meaning that Super Dave has to take our drops on the show and use them in his play-by-play calls, because by morning, he is a college football prognosticator here on the DA show. By evening, he is the voice of the first of the top team in the Big South in first place, the Winthrop Eagles, who are 14-0. Super Dave, good morning.
Good morning, DA.
Last year, Winthrop was poised to have a NCAA tournament bid as well, having won the Big South. Is this version better than last year's?
Yeah, probably. They're deeper, and the way they kind of operate as a team with basically two stars and nine interchangeable players is just kind of incredibly difficult to game plan for.
So after losing this bet, would it have been better if they had a bad season so that you could bury these embarrassing drops in the middle of play-by-play calls that maybe not so many people are paying attention to?
Maybe, but, you know, you like being around the winner, and maybe the audience is larger, and maybe there's some cross-section people that'll be interested in the basketball who will tune into the show, or people who will tune in the show will check out the basketball. So I don't think it's much of a problem. I'm kind of excited about it.
How many seasons have you now been the voice at Winthrop?
A long time, 14 or 15.
14 or 15 years. So you've built up quite a caseload of credibility here, and people know you and they respect you, and you're a great broadcaster. Is this going to challenge the credibility from your longtime listeners when you drop in some ridiculousness?
Well, I think people know me. Whether they respect me is a whole nother story. I think we're not afraid to stray a little bit, and people will probably get in on the joke and have a good time with it. But there'll be a couple people. We're on our full network today when Winthrop plays.
I think we lost Super Dave. The phone line has gone dead. This is Pete's worst nightmare here. So we'll try to put Super Dave back up on the phones, because I want to play for him some of the drops for him to potentially use. Mraz, we have breaking news as well that has just come down, huh?
Yeah, Adam Schefter is tweeting, and I've made sure I'm not making a Jody Mack here. Philip Rivers is retiring from football.
Not shockingly surprising, right? I mean, we kind of felt like he would lean to that direction. He wasn't great this year.
He wasn't, but there was a playoff team. He still hasn't won a ring, and I kind of got the impression it would be on the Colts' terms whether they wanted him back or not, and it seems like he's getting ahead of this and retiring, so the Colts and Frank Reich are going to be looking for a new quarterback.
Okay, so more on the Phillip Rivers retirement as we make our way into hour number four of the DA show, but Super Dave is back with us. So, Super Dave, you were saying that people know you. You like to stray a little bit and have some fun. So this is good for our bit here. We were thinking that maybe we would give you kind of a bingo card or a score sheet. And we would assign point total to the most difficult ones to insert in the middle of a basketball broadcast. And you'd have to hit a certain floor, kind of like a daily fantasy game. Would that make sense for you?
Yeah, a game within a game. We can try it. I can't guarantee I'm going to win, but I can't guarantee that Winthrop's going to beat an entire religion when they play Presbyterian today either.
So let's play some drops for you and see how you feel about this. Let's start with good burgers, okay? This was from our caller, Hurricane Jen. Let's play this for Super Dave and see what he thinks about using this in a play-by-play call.
Good burgers?
Now, do you think that that could work somewhere in a play-by-play?
I don't see why not.
Okay. All right. Now, one that we have that we think that could be perfect is Little Wet, Little Drippy, because oftentimes jumpers are considered wet or a good bucket is a splash. Let's play that.
I'm a little wet, a little drippy.
That feels like it's a natural, right?
Yeah, I think we can mix that in.
Now, we have a quote from one of our honchos in finance at CBS Sports Radio. We've nicknamed her Chicken Pesto Lady. She once spied Mraz ogling her because she had ordered a chicken pesto sandwich, and she said to him,
"You like that big boy?"
Do you think you could say you like that big boy after a big three-pointer or a windmill jam?
Well, I think that one's a little more tough, but possibly. Going to have to make sure we have the right context.
Mraz once gave his football food of the week as French onion dip, but added with bacon. Here it is.
With bacon.
Do you think that with bacon can work in the middle of a play-by-play?
Absolutely. That's an easy one. Everyone loves bacon.
This one's a little tougher. Mraz was talking about how many pants don't fit and how his physique is a little awkward, and he says, "I have a weird waist."
I have a weird waist.
That would be tough, I would think, to work into a play-by-play call, but is it possible?
We're going to have to get creative on that, but maybe.
And finally, Mraz didn't know why freshwater rivers and streams and creeks didn't have salt and they were freshwater, and he said,
"Where does the salt go?"
Is there a way to say, "Where does the salt go?" as Winthrop goes on a 7-0 run?
I'm not sure, but we can experiment with it. Not totally impossible.
Okay, so can you just maybe recreate one of these for us right now? Maybe it's a with bacon or something like that, so we can kind of get into the idea of how it would work, or any of these that you want to use.
Yeah, I mean, I think you can do a lot of them. I mean, I can imagine, you know, a tight game and the teams going back and forth and somebody making a big play and kind of jawing at the other guy and saying, "You like that big boy?"
And what about if, I don't know who the best shooter on Winthrop is, but if he took a three-point shot to take a lead late, and you said, "Good burgers." Could you recreate that for us right now?
Yeah, I think we could probably work that in. You know, something like, "Eagles trail by 1, minute 22 remaining. Anumba head of the key, left side Corbin releases a 3. Good burgers."
Actually, "good burgers" works because it has "good" in it if the shot goes in.
Exactly.
What's the next game up for you guys?
5:00 this afternoon, Winthrop and Presbyterian. Eagles looking to win a 20th straight game, which would be a school record.
Why is it a 5:00 start?
Why is anything happening the way it's happening during the pandemic? Winthrop has played games this year at noon, 1, 9:30. I mean, we play whenever they decide they want to roll the balls out.
Whenever the gym is open, right?
Exactly.
Whenever the gym is available. Yeah. Okay, so 5:00 this afternoon, Winthrop Presbyterian. Do you want to start this game tonight or today, or do you want to start this on the next game?
I mean, there's no time like the present, DA. Let's get it going.
Okay. All right. Then we're going to send you our scorecard of these drops, and we will have the record playing, and we're going to record this broadcast and then play on the show tomorrow when you drop our drops, okay?
Sounds like a plan.
Super Dave, paying off his bet. He's a man of his word. He's a great broadcaster, voice of the Winthrop Eagles. So he's going to do that today, and we'll play that on the show tomorrow. When we come back, former Chiefs center Tim Grunhard.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.